Continuing the Psalms, we're looking for Psalm, well, not the whole Psalm, 119, but one section, start verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Beloved congregation, this is God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have told all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Once again, beloved congregation, if we were to take a poll this evening to see how many people here consider themselves to be Christians, I believe that most, if not all of us, would claim to be Christians. That would be true in the same sense that all Hebrews or Jews were Israelites. That is, they were physically and outwardly Jews or Israelites. In Romans 9, verse 6, Paul said, quote, "For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. To be a Jew by birth or by ritual was relatively easy, but to be a true Jew, that is, a spiritual son of Abraham, was another matter. The same is true today. It is relatively easy to join a church, to make public profession of faith, to participate in the sacraments, and therefore physically and outwardly to be a Christian. Oh, beloved, to be a real, vital, spiritual child of Jehovah God is another matter. It is this spiritual, vital religion of which the psalmist speaks in this psalm. The person with a vital religion can be known by more than just the forms and rituals that he goes through at church. Let us examine ourselves in the light of Jehovah God's word to determine the vitality of our profession of faith. This evening, we are looking at this text in four heads. Number one, the vital Christian questions. Secondly, the vital Christian acts. Thirdly, the vital Christian desires. And fourthly, the vital Christian determines. Well, 4 points. Here's the first one again. The vital Christian questions. Now we're looking in verse 9. The text tells us that there is a presupposition about the question in verse 9. The vital Christian recognizes that he is still a sinner. The vital Christian recognizes that he was born in sin, that is, that he was contaminated with original sin. The vital Christian recognizes, beloved, that he still has committed sin, that is, that he still has committed another actual sins, sins of thoughts, sins of words, and sins of deeds. The vital Christian came to the point in his life where he wanted to be acceptable before Jehovah God. He knew that he was unacceptable to Jehovah God because of his sins. Oh, beloved, the unregenerate person has little or no care at all for those things. This is what Paul tells us about the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, quote, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Well, the psalmist knew and was concerned about the man's sin, and he asked in verse 9 again, quote, How can a young man keep his way pure? The prophet Isaiah gives us the same concept in Isaiah 1, verses 16 and 17, quote, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice. Is this your condition? Does it really concern you? Do you seriously ask, how can I cleanse my way? How can I be acceptable before Jehovah God? If not, pray for the convicting power of Jehovah God's Holy Spirit in your life and seriously consider your condition today." Now, the text tells us the question to the question again. Excuse me, wrong word. That the text tells us the answer to the question. The answer to the question is found in Jehovah God's Word. Beloved, what is God's Word? And the answer to that question is in the Bible. You can find the meaning of that right now in what we call the Westminster Shorter Catechism number 2. And its question is, quote, the first one question, "What rule hath God given to us to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him?" The answer is, quote, "The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him." The word is divinely inspired, infallibly given as our only rule for faith and life. For the Jew, it was the Torah, that is, the Old Testament. What about for us today? The word divinely inspired, infallibly given as our only rule for faith and life is the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. We, I'm afraid, lost something, and we have gained something with all of the new modern translations. When I was a youth, everyone followed the King James Version, and almost everyone there believed that the King James Version was divinely inspired and it held absolute authority. We've gained the recognition that the King James is not divinely inspired, is it? We've lost the sense of some real authority. Have you been at a Bible study where there were several translations and each person would say, "This is what my Bible says"? But anybody could say, "This is what the Bible really says." Maybe we've lost more than we have gained. What about all of these modern translations? First, we must know the difference between a translation and also a paraphrase. Under no condition must we think that a paraphrase is the Bible or that it is the word of Jehovah God. Secondly, we must know the theological bias from which every translation that we use was translated. The answer to the question is not by having or even reading the word of Jehovah God, but by heeding it. This is what the inspired psalmist wrote in verse 9 again, quote, "By asking heed thereto, according to your word." Another American Standard Version. That does not teach or even suggest legalism, but rather understanding, believing, and applying Jehovah God's word. That begins with believing that Jesus is the Son of God, who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. It means that we believe that Jesus took our sins upon himself and he died for us and he rose again on the third day. It means that we trust in Jesus and him alone for our salvation, that is, that our salvation is by grace through faith alone. Oh, beloved, it means that we recognize, like David of old, that we sin every day, and so that we daily need the cleansing of our ways. That is what John wrote about in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, quote, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Oh, beloved, it does matter what you believe. It does matter how you worship. It does matter how you live. He does matter exactly how you expect to be cleansed of your sin and on what you are depending for forgiveness and acceptance with the Holy God. For remember how Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23, quote, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to him, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Oh, beloved, man's ideas, man's theologies, and man's judgments will all lead astray. Only Jehovah God's word can tell us what we need to know to be saved and to be accepted by Jehovah God. It does exactly that. In the Old Testament, beloved, the Bible teaches us to believe God's promise, to confess your sin daily, and to seek to save and to obey Jehovah God. In the New Testament, beloved, the Bible teaches us to believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came to save sinners from sin, to confess your sin daily, and to seek to save and to obey Jehovah God. Oh, beloved, it is still the answer for us today. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second point. And the second point is the vital Christian acts. Now, it looks what we're saying in verse 10. The vital Christian seeks Jehovah God wholeheartedly. This is what the inspired psalmist says in verse 10. "With all my heart, I have sought you." Here is a sincere, vital believer. The vital Christian, beloved, is not satisfied with form or ritual. He desires to know Jehovah God and to have a marvelous communion with Jehovah God. The vital Christian is not playing church, but he is seeking Jehovah God wholeheartedly every day and especially every Sabbath day. Oh, beloved, this is the way that Moses proclaimed the same concept in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, quote, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul." This is what another inspired psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, quote, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Oh, beloved, this is what Jesus said about the same thought in Matthew 5, verse 6, quote, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Finally, This is what Paul said about the same concept in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, quote, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection for the dead." Oh, beloved, do you earnestly and wholeheartedly seek Jehovah God in your devotional life, in your times of public worship? Or is your spiritual life all form? If not, beloved, ask God for forgiveness and for his Holy Spirit to start that unwholehearted seeking God right now. Now, the vital Christian depends on Jehovah God's grace. Oh, beloved, this is what the inspired psalmist said again in verse 2, quote, "Do not let me wander from your commandments." With all this seeking and doing, the vital Christian does not trust his own doing. His best works are still contaminated by sin, and his flesh is still so weak that, like Hezekiah, if Jehovah God leaves him for even a moment, his life exerts himself in detestable ways. The vital Christian prays in sincerity, quote, "Do not let me wander from your commandments." Beloved, remember the words of that new hymnal that we do have. We're looking in hymn 429 in stanza 3. It says, quote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Therefore, the vital Christian is totally dependent on Jehovah God's grace, not just works. This is what Paul said about that concept in Philippians now in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, quote, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Oh, beloved, human responsibility and divine sovereignty are compatible with each other, not in opposition to each other. Do we depend and pray for Jehovah God's enabling grace daily? Oh, beloved, how we need to learn to do just that. Well, that's the second point. Here's the third point. The vital Christian desires. Now we're looking in verses 11 through 14. The vital Christian desires to not sin against Jehovah God. This is what the psalmist said in verse 11, quote, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Oh, beloved, in his imperfection, in his infrailty, and in his weakness, the total Christian has one overpowering desire, that is to glorify Jehovah God and to enjoy him forever, to be holy as he is holy. That is, his great desire is to not sin against Jehovah God. This is what Paul tells us about the vital Christian in Romans 7, verse 14, and in verse 22, quote, Paul said, 15, "For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm not doing the very thing I hate." Down to verse 22, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man." Oh, beloved, the vital Christian desires to be conformed to the image of Christ, whatever else that may mean. It does mean that the vital Christian is not constantly sinning, for Jesus was the one who did not sin at all. But how can this be accomplished? or how can there even be a good start? The vital Christian hides God's word in his heart. This is what the inspired psalmist sang and teaches us to sing in verse 11, quote, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Now, beloved, you have come to the key verse in this section. Verse 11, beloved, is a key as to why much of modern-day Christianity is not vital, but rather that it is sterile and seemingly dead. First, much of modern-day Christianity doesn't know what sin is. Do you know, beloved, what the Westminster Shorter Catechism teaches us about sin in verse 14? Once again, the question in verse 14 is, quote, "What is sin?" Now the answer is, again, it's still verse 14, here's the answer. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Can I say it again? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Therefore, to know what a particular sin is, we must know the law. That is, we must know the Ten Commandments in the Word of Jehovah God. When you face a particular temptation, do you know what Jehovah God says? Or since you don't know Jehovah God's law, do you often rationalize the sin? Consider how Jesus would deal with the temptations facing Satan in Matthew 4. In each temptation, Jesus responded with biblical scriptures. Jesus' response to temptation was to quote scripture. Do you know enough scripture to quote it in the face of a particular temptation? When you face a particular situation, what should you do? Oh, beloved, when you face a particular situation or when you face a particular temptation, you should be able to apply the principles of Jehovah God's word. What does Jehovah God's word say about such a certain situation? Even many Christians often don't know how to apply the principles of Jehovah God because they haven't hidden Jehovah God's word in their hearts. Most Christians want to have an experience that will make them instantly holy, or at least they want an experience that will make them instantly mature, and they want to be able to not sin ever. Is that true? Is it true with you? Here is God's way, beloved, for the vital Christian to be mature and to be able to face a particular situation or to face a particular temptation. You must, quote, hide God's word in your heart. That takes time, and that makes much effort. And it is easier to turn on your TV and set your minds in neutral, isn't it? Right there on the TV, beloved, is one of the places where we are taught a philosophy and where we are taught a world and life view that is quite contrary to biblical teaching. But most people don't really believe that. So we become confused as to what to do, because the TV ethic conflicts with the biblical ethic that we've been hearing in church. The lack of holiness of many Christians stems from their lack of the knowledge of God's word. Fathers, are you teaching Jehovah God's word to your families? Finally, how meaningful is your witness to the community? How much do you witness? I really don't know how to witness is the usual answer. But your lack of witness has no excuse. The answer again is that even most Christians don't know how to witness. And the reason is that they don't know Jehovah, God's word. What do most people witness about? Well, let's see. Most people do witness about, many people witness about cars. Many people witness about politicians. Many people witness about sports teams. Many people witness about Hollywood stars. On and on and on, an infinitum and ad nauseum. What is the difference? Oh, beloved, isn't it just this, that most Christians don't know enough of Jehovah's God to use it efficiently? This is what the inspired psalmist teaches us in verses 12 and 13. Quote, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth." Once again, beloved, you usually speak about what we know the most. That is, maybe it's just saying again, but we enjoy speaking about cars, about speaking about sports. We usually enjoy speaking about movies, and we usually speaking about jobs. But this is what Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 45, quote, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Oh, beloved, what is your heart filled with? You see, we sin as witnesses because many don't know Jehovah God's word. Many haven't hidden it in their hearts. So we feel that we can't witness for many because many don't know what to say and feel that we are sure that we will be bested in a discussion, maybe. Oh, beloved, the vital Christian must hide Jehovah's word in his heart. That person whose heart is filled with Jehovah God's word, that person can face a particular situation, and that person can face a particular temptation, and that person, beloved, can certainly be able to apply the principles of Jehovah God's word. And that person whose heart is filled with Jehovah God's word, that person can certainly witness in an effective way. Well, that's the third point. Here's the fourth point. Number four, the vital Christian determines. Now we're looking in verses 15 and 16. The vital Christian determines to meditate. This is what the psalmist teaches us in verse 15, quote, "I will meditate on your precepts." Oh, beloved, if you are in fact a vital Christian, then take time to read Jehovah God's word regularly. Then take time to study Jehovah God's word regularly. And also take time to memorize Jehovah God's word regularly. Once again, think about what you learn and apply it to the particular situations in your life. Another commentator put it this way, quote, as food undigested will not nourish the body, so the word of God, not considered with deep meditation and reflection, will not feed the soul. Finally, beloved, the likened Christian determines to regard Jehovah God's ways. The psalmist tells us more in verse 15, quote, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. That word, regard, in the Hebrew means, quote, look intently at. That means that the vital Christian meditates on Jehovah God's word and seriously looks at life and applies God's word to his life. The vital Christian determines to delight in Jehovah God's statutes. Now, the inspired psalmist repeats that concept again in a different word in verse 16, quote, I shall delight in your precepts. The commentator John Calvin has taken about the same concept in verse 16, quote, the commencement of a good life consists in God's law, attracting us to him by its sweetness. Finally, the vital Christian determines to not forget Jehovah God's word. The psalmist repeats that concept again and again in verse 16, quote, I shall not forget your word. Once again, beloved, the vital Christian stores up Jehovah God's word, and therefore he will remember it and he will use it. As the vital Christian meditates on Jehovah God's word, his regard for it and his delight in it grows, and it becomes more and more part of him and his life. Well, that's point four. Short conclusion. Well, a little more conclusion. Oh, beloved, there is a religion, and there is a vital living religion. The vital Christian finds its religion centered in Jehovah God as he has revealed himself and his will in his word. The key is knowing Jehovah God's word. Christians, many are not prepared to witness, and their defense against sin and Satan is weak or non-existent because many don't hide Jehovah God's word in their hearts. We can't meditate the delight in Jehovah God's word because we often don't even know much of Jehovah God's word well enough to do so. It is time, beloved, for each of us even to change. Start a program of reading and meditating upon Jehovah God's word. Hide it in your hearts and use it as the sword of the Spirit to ward off the attacks of the evil one. The vital Christian seeks Jehovah God wholeheartedly, and he depends on Jehovah God's grace. The vital Christian desires to not sin against Jehovah God, and he hides Jehovah God's word in his heart. The vital Christian again determines to meditate on Jehovah God's word. He determines to regard Jehovah God's ways. He determines to delight in Jehovah God's statutes, and he determines to not forget Jehovah God's word. Let's pray. Father, teach us more and more that every vital Christian must determine to meditate on your word, to determine to regard your ways, to determine to delight in your statutes, and to determine to not forget your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.